There's salvation, forgiveness of sins, adoption into his family, being declared justified, considered by God pardoned and righteous in his sight. And it would be such that the sins of the world would be dealt with in such a way that a day would come when God would redeem, when Jesus would return, and we would see the great victory that he had won in all of its fullness. That's what makes this Friday good. You can see just very quickly from our order of service tonight that we'll be reading through this a day in the life of Jesus, primarily from the Gospel of John, yet with a couple other passages as well. And you can see just sort of how we're going to work through. In a moment, we'll stand together and pray an invocation and a responsive call to worship. We'll sing. And I'll provide just a small glimpse overview by way of meditation. But then we'll begin simply to read, and various ones of us will read passages of Scripture. There'll be responses. Some will be responses that we say together from the Scripture, unison readings. You can see how they're here. Others, times we'll sing together. We'll keep silence. And candles will be extinguished. At Advent, we lit them. At this time, we extinguish them. But of course, we know always in the course of this evening what's to come. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. As with last night, there'll be no benediction tonight. This is the second part of a three-part worship service together. It began last night, continues tonight, and we'll find its conclusion on Sunday. Again, as with last night, we ask that as you leave quietly. Some might want to linger and pray a bit, and others to leave, but to leave quietly out of respect for those who would like to ponder and pray even as they leave. So we ask as we begin that you stand with me. And let us all together pray. Almighty Father, as we hear your word tonight, look with mercy on this your family, for which our Lord Jesus Christ was content to be betrayed and given up into the hands of sinners and to suffer death upon the cross, who is raised and who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Call to worship is responsive. Who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed.
Of glory.
You may be seated. And this evening we are to reflect on events that took place 2,000 years ago, approximately. And they still have great meaning, obviously, for us today, as we consider this night in the life of Jesus and in some sense his disciples and ours as well. We consider first Jesus' prayer, we know it, his prayer in the garden with great agony. All the disciples of Jesus could see on that night was what they had been seeing, no doubt, was this man of wisdom, this man of compassion, this man of power. And yet here he was in great need, he said, to pray. They could never see what he was facing. For what he was facing was the very wrath of God. What they couldn't see was their own vulnerability to temptation and sin. And then we move to the next scene of Jesus meeting Judas and Judas to betray Jesus. Judas thought that Jesus could be subdued with an army and weapons. Peter thought Jesus needed protection. But we'll realize as we hear these words that none of that was true. Jesus was never taken. He gave himself. And then the trial begins first before the Jews. He's taken to Annas, sort of the high priest emeritus. And Annas questions Jesus about what he taught and about his disciples and so forth. And Jesus is a bit surprised by all of that because he had done it all in public and he assumed that Annas would know about this. And the guards mock and even hit Jesus. And he's sent then to the high priest Caiaphas. And the best Caiaphas can do is to bring false accusations against Jesus. How secure could he be in false accusations against this one Jesus? All they could see in Jesus was a blasphemer. Amazingly, they got it right. He was, in fact, declaring to be the Son of God. And then Peter. Peter could never see how vulnerable he was. He would see it very clearly 3 times. And at that moment, he still could not see the forgiveness and the restoration that would come because of Jesus. And then the trial before Pilate. Pilate couldn't see why Jesus should be crucified. Nobody could see that Barabbas was an illustration of what Jesus was about to do. The guilty to go free, the innocent to be killed. And then the verdict, of course. The soldiers mocked Jesus, King of the Jews. They had it partially right. He was indeed King of the Jews, but he was more than that. He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Pilate couldn't see why Jesus wouldn't defend himself. He thought that if only he would say the right things, Pilate could let him go, because Pilate thought he had authority in the situation, but Jesus knew Pilate had no authority in the situation, that it was his Father who was in control of all the events. Then Jesus is crucified and he died. And that great expression, "it's finished," seems perhaps to some to be a cry of defeat, but it wasn't at all. It was a cry of victory. He did it. It was done. The sins of sinners paid for. And then what seems to be a rather quiet end to the day, some friends of Jesus put him in a new tomb. What even then they couldn't know is that he wouldn't be there for long. Let me just ask you to bow your heads. Take just some seconds, really, and contemplate this evening and ask the Lord to help you to see it. And let's begin. Our first lesson is from Luke in chapter 22, beginning with verse 39. "And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation.' And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, 'Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not fall. You may not enter into temptation.'" And together, let us read together. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all."
Second lesson reminds us of the betrayal by Judas from John chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the brook Kidron, where there was a garden which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. Let's read this response together. "Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them. By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me, but you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever."
The third lesson comes from John chapter 18, verses 13 through 14, 19 through 24, and Matthew chapter 26, 57 through 68. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat down with the guards to see the end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" And the high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witness do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment?" And they answered, "He deserves death." Then they spit in his face and struck him. And some slapped him, saying, "Prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that has struck you?"
Please stand to sing.
Oh, come and mourn with me a while. Oh, come ye to the Savior's side. Oh, come together, let us mourn. Jesus our Lord is crucified. 7 times he spake 7 words of love. And all 3 hours his silence cried for mercy on the souls of men. Jesus our Lord is crucified. O love of God, O Son of Man, in this dread act your strength is tried. Our Lord is crucified. Oh, break, hard heart of mine. Thy weak self-love and guilty pride. Is Pilate and his Judas were. Jesus, our Lord is crucified. And they will not be denied. A broken heart, love's cradle is Jesus our Lord is crucified. O love of God, O Son of Man, in this dread act your strength is tried.
The fourth lesson is from John chapter 18, verses 15 through 18, and verses 25 through 27. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest, but Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed.
Please stand. Ears, no other name but
This reading is from John in chapter 18. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken, to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am the king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is the truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. And together let's read responsively. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for this generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people?
The sixth lesson is from John 19, verses 1 through 16. And then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" Chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified.
Please stand to sing in response.
Man of sorrows, Lamb of God, by his own betrayed, the sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus laid. Silent as he stood accused, beaten, mocked, and scorned, bowing to the Father's will, he took a crown of thorns. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Now my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise and honor unto thee. Sent of heaven, God's own Son, to purchase and redeem and reconcile
may be seated.
The death of Jesus from John chapter 19. So they took Jesus and he went out, bearing his own cross to the place they called the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her to be his own, to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, "Not one of his bones will be broken." And again, another scripture says, "They will look on him who they have pierced." Let's respond with these words from Isaiah chapter 53. "Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He was put to him in grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong him to days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors."
Our final lesson is taken from John 19, beginning with verse 38. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths and with spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. And together let us respond. And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Some may wish to linger, some to leave, but let me ask you to leave quietly or linger quietly, and we're dismissed.